man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're going to take some time and just kind of walk through the parable. It's a Sunday school time. I feel kind of weird being up here in the pulpit. I was told I have to be here for live stream. But I'd love for it to be as interactive as possible. I'm going to ask a few questions along the way, kind of have it more, you know, a devotional feel to it. We'll walk through this together. But just in reading through, and who would you say the master is representative of in this passage? Yeah, it's representative of Jesus Christ. You know, he says, a master came, he gave all this to his servants, he went away, Jesus was going to leave the disciples, and then he said he comes back after a long time. So, you know, you have the master representing God, Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, it says, so it says this man traveling into a far country, this master is leaving, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And if we're not careful, we kind of just read, and we almost read over that word his. But that is a key possessive pronoun to this whole passage. Because what it's saying is that these things that the servants received, this wasn't their own. This was directly from God, from Jesus Christ. He gave this to them. And we're going to look and try to discern, okay, what exactly the goods, what the talents here in this passage might be representative of. But the first thing we need to notice as we go through this is that these were things that were given to the servants. This wasn't anything that they could claim for themselves. The master called them to himself and he says, hey, this is mine, but I'm going to give it to you and I want you to use it. So these were not things that the servants could claim. But then notice also the amounts that were given to the servants. In verse 15 it says, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So are they all given the same amount here? No. Is that fair? We might be wondered to ask, but the point is not, we're not working through whether this is fair or not. Obviously, if it's Christ giving, then this is holy and just and right. We can't question that. Could someone turn to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 and read that for us? He wants to, I see a lot of turning. He wants to read that. Mr. Chuck, go for it.
You said 1 Corinthians 4, 7?
Yes, sir.
For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?
Yeah, and here in this verse, you know, first of all, we just talked about, okay, this is from God. These gifts that are given to these servants, it's directly from God. And this passage makes that point. He says, you know, what do you have that you did not receive? There's nothing that you have that was not a gift from God. But then it also says, who maketh thee to, what's the word? To differ from one another. It talks about we're not all given the same thing. We're not all given the same amounts of gifts. We're not all given the same types of gifts. God doesn't make everyone the same way. You know, I'm glad not everyone is like me. I'm very different from my dad. I'm glad everyone's not like my dad. I'm glad everyone's, you know, not a Pastor Byford. We're all different. God makes us different, and that's wonderful. That's a glorious thing that represents His image. And so they are given these different amounts. And one is given five, one is given two, and then one is given one. And the talent, from what I've understood, I didn't take the time to do a ton of looking into this, but one commentator was saying one talent was representative of about 20 years of hard labor. So even the person that received just the one talent, we might read that and be like, oh wow, poor guy. You know, that still is a lot that he gave. That's 20 years of works. Monetary value for an average person, according to one source that I looked up. But what exactly, because I think we would all recognize, okay, this is a parable, this isn't just talking about, you know, Christ gave us all, you know, an inheritance of money when we came into the earth. That might be nice, but He didn't do that. So what are these representative of? And turn over to Romans chapter 12. I want to show two different categories, in a sense, that I believe would fall into, okay, what has God given us? And in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse number 5, actually go back to verse 4, we're going to read through verse 6, so just a few verses here. So he says, for as we have many members in one body, so he's talking about the church, one body of Christ, the body of the church. So for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Again, okay, the idea, he makes us to differ from one another. We don't all receive the same thing from him. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're all one. There's not, you know, it's not like one person is better. We're all one together. We're one body in Christ. We differ, but we're all one body in Christ. Verse 6, having then gifts differing, okay, there's our word again, according to the grace that is given, okay, so emphasizing the difference, emphasizing this has been given, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Then he goes on, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it so with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And a passage like this, what kind of term would we use to describe what he's talking about here? Spiritual gifts. And who are these gifts given to? To whom are these given? To the church. You know, it's something that the Holy Spirit uses to equip the church for ministry. It says, you know, for the body of Christ. There's another passage that talks about he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ. God knows what the church needs, and he gives gifts to edify the body of Christ and to build that church up. And so I think you can see the parallels, you know, talking about this is given to you, you have different gifts, you differ. I think this could fall under the category of what is being talked about in Matthew chapter 25. Because you see the parallels. God gives this to us. He wants us to use them, and it's different. But I also want to suggest that something other than just spiritual gifts are being talked about as well. Go back to Matthew 25, and I'll show you why. Are any of you guys readers in here? I like reading a good book. When you're in college, they make you read so many books, you don't have time to read any other books. And so I take a couple seminary classes. One of my seminary professors was talking about, you guys need to have a section on your phone that's just like books to read when I'm done with school. Because, you know, it was just, I think Friday, I had to read like 200 pages for something. And it was, you know, there's no time to read what I want to read. And it was a really good book. So it was still very worth the reading. But I love a good story. I remember this story called Stone Fox that I read in elementary school. Has anyone ever read Stone Fox? Mrs. Byford's singing set. And that story, it's a really cool story until like the very, very end. And Hopefully I'm not giving away a good read for someone. But if you go, and this is the case in most books that you read, if you're reading the whole book and then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know if I want to finish this, let me go skip and, you know, read the last paragraph of the book. Well, you just ruined the whole rest of the book for yourself. You know, that gives it all away. And in the book Stone Fox, this boy is trying to raise money for his grandfather that's sick. And the very last paragraph, it talks about, so he's going to run and do this sled race. And the very last paragraph, it talks about how he's carrying his dead dog across the finish line to win the money for the race. And if you're an animal lover, you're just like, oh, that's awful. And, you know, that ruins the story for you. And it's kind of the same in this parable. And I want us to go look at the very last verse. Because, again, we're still talking about, okay, is this, these talents that are given, is this just representative of spiritual gifts that God gives to the church? And I'm going to say that it actually includes more than that. Because if you look in verse 30, it says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And we'll look at this a little more, but that is describing an unbeliever. You know, if you're being cast into outer darkness, if there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that place, that's used like four other times in Matthew to talk about someone that is sent to hell. And so this can't just be talking about spiritual gifts, because as was mentioned, you know, those are gifts that God gives to the church, to believers, to build up the body of Christ. And so I do think that it is still applicable to the gifts that we are given as Christians, but it is also clearly talking about more than that, because God gave this person a talent. He still gave that to him. And so I think what's being talked about here, it's not just our spiritual gifts, it's actually anything about us in this life. God is the creator. He's the one that's created us. He is the one that's made us. He's given us a personality. He's given us, you know, a place that we live. He's given us different likes and interests and things that we enjoy doing. You know, I love sports. And, you know, that's something that, you know, it's not necessarily a spiritual quality, but that's something that God, you know, just made me enjoy. What might be some other things that might not necessarily fall under the category? And I want to be careful here, because some people view the list of spiritual gifts as, oh, you know, we need to go and look, okay, what is my exact, you know, look at all the lists. This is an they're not exhaustive lists of spiritual gifts. The point there is that we should be using whatever God has given us to serve the local church. And so I want to be careful. I'm not saying that there's a difference, you know, a complete line between, oh, these are things that we use for the church, these are things that, you know, have no spiritual weight at all. I'm not necessarily saying that. But what might be some things we don't think about as, you know, a passage like Romans 12, you know, mercy and teaching and exhortation, what might be some things that are more just, you know, physical or natural in our lives that we can use? Like I mentioned, for me, you know, athletics or sports, you know, using that in different ways. What might be some other things? Mrs. Byford?
Music.
Okay, music, definitely.
Making homemade soap.
Hey, yeah, making homemade soap.
I was going to say hospitality.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
A gift with numbers.
A gift with numbers. I was talking to Alex over here earlier, and he was just talking about his love for economics and numbers and math. And I enjoyed math until we hit like algebra 2 and all that stuff. Once it wasn't pure logic, it was like, oh, this is getting too complicated for my mind. But yeah, someone that just, you know, loves numbers and things like that. And anything else before we?
Encouragement.
Go
ahead.
We can
some
do
people like cleaning.
Cleaning. Oh yeah. You should talk to my fiance. She does that too.
Mechanics.
Yeah, mechanics. You know, some people, I can change the oil in the car, and that's about it. That's more than my dad can do, but I can change the oil in the car. But some people, they can open up a car engine, and they just love doing that type of stuff. And it's easy, especially in areas like that, to think, oh, this is something that I have. You know, this is what's unique to me. And we're tempted to be prideful in those areas and to think, oh, this is something I've earned. But when we look at it in light of a passage like Matthew 25, remember, everything we are, everything that we're created to be, that is ultimately from God. He is the one that has given us these talents. And these talents aren't just referring to the gifts that He's given to the church, to believers. Because unbelievers have things that have been given from God that God expects them to use. And again, we'll look, but when you don't use it, and when you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you still have that talent, you still have that, but you wasted it. You wasted your life. Okay, so I would argue that the talents here, yes, it is representative of gifts that God does give to the church, but it also includes so much more. It includes everything about us. God was our creator, and so everything that we are given, everything that we are created to be is a gift from God. And He expects us to use that. So let's look at how each of these use the talents. So that, if you're taking notes, sorry I didn't give this at the start, but that under on my outline, I have that under the giving of the talents. You know, you have the giving of the talents, you have the giver. Well, that's Christ. These aren't things that we in ourselves possess. The amounts that are given are different. And then, you know, what exactly is a talent? And we kind of explored that for a little bit. So let's look how they use the talents, secondly, here. So we see, first of all, the two, and I'm going to call them the two faithful servants. And you'll see why at the end. But it says, and he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them another five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. So these servants go out, and we're not told exactly what they did. Some of you are better businessmen in this room than I am. You know, that's not an area that God's gifted me in, per se. And so you might be thinking, oh, okay, so five talents, you know, what would be the best way to invest that and make more from it? Well, that's what these servants did in the parable. They go, and the one guy has five talents. It says he gained another five besides that. So now he has 10 talents that he made with the resources that his master gave him. The other servant had only received two talents. But again, he doubled that, and now he has 4 talents that he used. And just a couple things here to note is that, you know, they went. They were active in going out. It wasn't like they just sat there and were like, well, as an opportunity comes by, I'll start investing the things that I've been given. No, they went out. They went out and looked for ways to use what they had been given to use their master's money to create more from it and to use it for his service. And honestly, I told Pastor Byford this morning. I texted Karis, my fiance, last night, and I said, this is so convicting for me as I'm looking at this, because it's so easy, especially in the stage I'm at in college and everything. It's just so busy. And so sometimes I find myself just sitting there saying, well, God will bring an opportunity to me to serve and to use my gifts and to minister. And so often that's actually how we live our lives. Is we say, well, if God wants me to use this, someone will come reach out to me and say, hey, can you do this for me? Or God's going to bring and, you know, place someone in front of me that I can witness to. Sometimes that does happen. But these servants, they went out. They were active. They went out looking for ways to use and to invest. They weren't just sitting around, hanging back, saying, okay, if you want me to use this, you know, come bring someone along. Come bring an opportunity for me. No, they were active. They went out. But they weren't just busybodies. You know, they weren't just out doing a ton of action, being like, okay, we're good. I'm doing a ton of... No, they were wise in how they did it. And again, I mentioned some of you guys, you could get up here and, you know, maybe for a second explain some of the different business ideas behind, okay, you know, how do you wisely invest in... I can't do that, so I'm not going to try to delve into that. But any businessman will tell you, you have to think through your decisions. You have to know where to place the money. You have to... It's not just, oh, you know, go invest in anything and every opportunity that comes up. No, you have to think through it. And so these servants weren't just busybodies. They were wise and they were productive in their efforts as they went out. And this is good for us, because I don't want to challenge... sometimes we do just need a good kick to get going. And if nothing else, I would love it if this can encourage and challenge all of us, myself included, to do better in being active. But take some time to think. Take some time to think through, okay, what has God given me? You know, I mentioned my love for sports or whatever. We were on Fort Riley yesterday, and Pastor Byford was talking about, okay, how can we reach these people? You know, it's hard when, you know, those of us that don't have an active military ID, or we got on with Mr. Joe yesterday because it's his retired ID and everything like that. But, you know, how it's hard to connect with those types of people. And so I just mentioned, I was like, well, you know, what if, you know, I came over and, you know, I mean, would they let me just come shoot baskets on the court with some of the guys? And Pastor was like, yeah, actually, that might be a good opportunity. And it's things like that, thinking through and saying, okay, I'm not just going to go, you know, just do a lot of busy work. No, I'm going to think through and say, okay, how can I use what God has given me strategically.
Amen.
To impact others? And that's what these servants were doing here. They went and they both doubled their resources. Now, what about the third one? We have alluded to this a couple times. But in verse 18, it says, "But he that had received the one went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money." He took what he had been given, and he didn't just sit back and say, well, I'll wait for an opportunity. He actually went and he said, I'm just going to put this away. I'm not going to use this at all for the Lord. I'm not going to use this at all for the Master. Now, I want to keep moving because I want to see exactly what all was going on there. And I want us to look at the reward that each of these servants received in the end for their talents and how they used them. So, starting in verse 19, it says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." And I love that phrase, "after a long time." Because, yes, the Lord's return is imminent. And you can read Paul, and he was like, he's coming back tomorrow. And we should definitely live that same thought. But sometimes we're here and we're just like, Lord, it's time for you to return. You know, it's been so long. And this parable, after a long, it seems like a long time. He could return tomorrow. He definitely could. But that's never an excuse for us to say, well, I'm out of time. No, there's always more time.
Amen.
We should be investing and using our resources. It seems like a long time sometimes. It says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the second servant came and did the same. And then look down at verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou thine. And we see, I'm going to start with the third servant, and then we're going to look at the first two. Because I want to point out with this third servant, this is not teaching a work salvation. This is not teaching, you know, the person that goes out and does good works for God, that's the one that God's going to welcome into the kingdom. The one that doesn't do good works for God, he's going to be disowned. There is the truth that a Christian will live this out. A Christian will be using his gifts. And if there's nothing in a person's life that shows they're using what they have been given for God, that might be a good indication of where their soul is, the state of their soul. But I want you to see how he describes the Master. Look in verse 24. He says, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. And then look how his Lord answered him. He said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. And the servant is saying, Master, I didn't think you deserved this from me. You don't deserve my work to do this. You don't deserve to reap where you did not sow. You weren't the one that was doing this. You expected me to go out and do this, and you're not worthy of that. I shouldn't. You're a hard man. And this servant didn't actually recognize truly who the Master was. He didn't recognize the real heart of his Master for them. The Master kind of repeats. It says, you know, you thought I was a hard man. You thought. And most Bible scholars will say that could be phrased as a question. He's saying, this is what you thought of me? You know, you should have at least done this then. The point is, this was not truly who the Master, this was not truly the character of the Master. He never really knew who Jesus was. Because we're saying the Master is representative of Jesus. He never fully understood the character of Christ. And so I'll just say, if your heart, when we look at a passage like this, and as we're talking through these things, if your attitude is, well, why should I do that for God? You know, what has He done for me? Why should I go out and live for Him? Why should I go serve Him? Well, I'm not gonna be the one to make a judgment on the state of your soul by any chance. But I will say there's at least a warning in this passage that if your attitude towards using what God has given you for the good of others is, God doesn't deserve that. That's what the servant was saying. He was saying, you don't deserve this. Why should I go live? I want to live for myself. And what this passage is, if that is where your heart is, then really take time to evaluate whether or not you really truly are a true servant and a follower of Christ. Because what happened to this servant? He was not. He was cast into outer darkness. And some people say, oh, you know, I'm going to go party it up there with my buddies. And we could do a whole other message on that. But it says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth there. There's no time for celebration. No one is having any type of pleasure in hell. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth there. And so there is that sober reminder for each of us in the passage to examine our own hearts and say, what is my heart towards Christ? Because we need to know the Master. And a true servant, we're not going to be perfect, but a true servant of Christ is going to say, Lord, you deserve this. You deserve my life. And I want to live and use this for you. But let's look at the reward for the faithful servants. Give me one second while I actually switched up the order there just because I wanted to. But the faithful servants. So starting in verse 20, it says, the one that received five, he brought this to the Lord, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And enter thou into the joy. This person was a Christian. This person was a true follower and disciple of Christ, and he showed it through his life. And Christ says, come into my eternal glory. Come into heaven. And then he says, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. And just even last night, we were sitting around the table, and you know, it's hard wrestling through in the Bible, you know, some of the incentives that God gives us for why we do what we do as Christians. We were talking, and you know, sometimes you feel really bad thinking about the rewards that are there. You're like, well, is that selfish? And we need to be careful that, you know, we're not living our lives selfishly, only for what we think we can gain from them. But over and over again, the Bible does give incentives. And I will say, and I mentioned this even last night as we were talking with Pastor Byford, that to hear one day from the Master, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant, that is going to be the best thing ever to hear.
Amen.
Mr. Joe was talking, and he was talking about a picture he had one time about people standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to get this wrong a little bit. But basically the idea was, is people would say, I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have done more. Why didn't you do more? Why didn't you do more? And that's such a good image. That's such a good picture for us. Do we really live to hear, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant? You think about, for a young son or for a young daughter, what it means to get the love, the attention, and the praise of their mom or their dad. And the parallel here is a father and a son. But I know for me, I played basketball for my dad, and he was my coach. If, you know, if I would come over to the bench, he'd be like, why did you do that? You know, you know, do this next time. You know, that wasn't, and that probably happened more than the other times. But you know, if I would come over and he'd be like, that was a really good play, Nathan. You made the right pass. You took the right shot. That meant the world to me. That was worth all the times when he said, hey, you could have done better in this way. And that's the image that Scripture gives us, is that Christ is our Father. Sorry, I'm going to preach heresy. But, you know, God, he's our Father. And when we hear that praise from our Father, that's what we were created to do. God created us. He created us for a specific purpose. It was to hear His praise, to worship and to glorify Him with our lives. And when we find out that we have done that, that'll be such an amazing day. And that's the picture that Christ puts before us, saying, how are you going to use your life? How are you going to spend your life? Pastor Byford, I didn't ask specifically what the time... Does the morning service start at 10:30 usually?
No, it's quarter to... We usually go till 10:30.
Okay, perfect. Well, I still have some material here, so let's keep moving along. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't going too far. C.S. Lewis, I love reading some of his works. Don't agree with everything. It's encouraging when you're reading someone and you respect a lot of what they have to say, but then you're like, oh wow, I don't agree with everything. Well, that's good, because there's only one book that you should fully agree with.
Amen.
And so I appreciate a lot of what C.S. Lewis had to say. And in talking about this, this is a quote from him. He said, when the redeemed soul, beyond all hope and nearly beyond all belief, learns that at last he has pleased him who he has created to please, that is a wonderful day. And I love that imagery there. When we enter into heaven and we find out that we pleased the Lord with our lives, when we hear from Him that we were a good and we were a faithful servant, that is going to be the most glorious and the most wonderful thing. And we're going to turn around and say, no, Lord, You gave that all to us. Thank You for all that You did in my life and for choosing. We're weak people. Paul talks about, you know, he called himself the chief of sinners. He talked about, I've been reading in 1 Timothy for my devotions. There's a passage in there where he says, the only reason God saved me is so that He could show to other people just how merciful He is. And that should be our heart. Because we're weak vessels. And it's such a privilege that God has given us to be used by Him for His glory. And if we... as we live for Him and as we serve Him, there will come a day when He looks at us and He says, well done for how you used your life on this earth. Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. And that's going to be the most glorious and the most wonderful thing of all. So just a few notes of application here. Going back to the very start, you know, we looked at when the gifts were given. There's nothing that we have that's not our own. These are gifts from God. I might be tempted to think that, you know, I'm going to get the dates wrong, but the 13 years I took cello lessons, or, you know, the 14 years I took piano. I've forgotten about the 14 years I took piano, unfortunately. But, you know, that was a lot of work that I put in. That's a lot of effort I put in. Well, truly, God is the one that gave me that ability and gave me that opportunity to learn. And so it starts with a recognition that says, God, everything that I have is from You. And Karis can tell you, I battle pride. It's hard. And we all feel that battle, that struggle. But recognizing that everything is truly a gift from God, that's the first step. So recognize that everything we have is a gift from God. In Daniel chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar dreams this dream about this big tree that he saw, and everything came to it for comfort and for nourishment. And then God actually commanded that tree to be cut down. And it was an image of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, a year later, looks out over Babylon and he's like, is this not great Babylon that I have created for my glory and my majesty? Basically saying, look at everything that I have done. And then it says God humbled him. God gave him the mind of a beast. He was eating grass and everything like that. And I've been teaching the children at my church every Wednesday night, and we worked through Daniel. And, you know, it's fun to talk about, you know, a man being given the mind of an animal. And, you know, they love that image or whatever. But God humbled him so much. And at the end of those days, Nebuchadnezzar said his reason returned to him. And you read his words, whereas before he was saying, look at everything I have done. I've set this up for me. I was the one that was doing all of this. He looks back and he reflects, God is the one that sets up kings and tears down kings. God is the one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's a very, very loose quotation of it. I didn't have it written down in my notes. But basically, Nebuchadnezzar learned to recognize, I was not the one that created this position for myself. God is the one that put me here. You think about Nebuchadnezzar, and you know, he was one of the greatest kings of the ancient world. I'm sure that guy was brilliant. You know, you have to be smart to be able to conquer all those nations and all these war strategies. But, you know, you read in the prophets and you get the bigger picture that God is really the one behind doing all of this. And so we need to step back from our own lives and realize and get that bigger picture that at times we might feel like we're the ones accomplishing all of this. We're the ones doing all of this. But this chapter makes it very clear. This is a gift. God has given us all of these things in life. And it's not just our spiritual gifts. It's everything. Everything about us is a gift from God. And so we need to use that. So recognize everything that God has given you and use it. Be active in using it. You know, these servants, they went out. They didn't sit back and wait. And especially in a culture like America, and that culture is changing, but it's been friendly to Christianity for most of our lives. And it's easy sometimes to have this laid-back Christianity, this comfortable Christianity, where we just are sitting there kind of living our lives, and yeah, we'll go to church, yeah, we'll do this. Oh, you know, as you know, a person comes across my path, I'll take the opportunity to talk to them, maybe ask them where they go to church, you know, maybe tell them I'm a Christian, but we kind of stop there or whatever. Well, these servants were active. They went out and they were like, how can I use what God has given me? They didn't just sit back and wait. They weren't lackadaisical in it. They went out and they were active and they were smart in it. They thought through, okay, how can I invest here? How can I think through what God has given you? I need to be thinking through what God has given me. And I'm definitely not preaching just to you guys here. I am preaching to myself. This is so convicting for me even. I actually texted Karis last night. I think I mentioned this. But I said, I fail in this so much. This is a really convicting passage for me. And it's good especially for me at this time in life to evaluate, okay, what has God given me? How can I use what He's given me to be a blessing to the church and to witness for Him, to advance His kingdom? So be active. Think through it all. And then remember the reward that is waiting for us. The Lord is returning. And all the parables before, we could take the time to look at them, but we'd be here, you know, I'd end up taking the whole morning service time. But you look back before and it talks about these people that weren't ready for their Lord's return. They weren't watching for Him. They weren't thinking about it. And we need to live in light of that. We need to be thinking, the Lord is returning. He's going to come and establish His kingdom. What will He say to me? You know, Mr. Joe sharing that, you know, will I stand there saying, I should have done more, I should have done more, I should have done more? Regardless, we will stand there saying that. But you can right now, with how you live your lives as a servant of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, you can stand there someday and you know, Paul says, with nothing be ashamed. You know, that this is, I'm going to quote it wrong, but you know, this is, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God. In another point, he says that in nothing I may be ashamed. And that's what our mindset should be. That we will stand before the Lord someday and say, God, I wasn't perfect, but I used my life to the best of my ability to invest for eternity. And to hear from Him, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, why should I do that? Then I'll just give the warning of that one servant one more time. If you're sitting here thinking, why should I live for God? Why would I want that praise from Him? Why should I use my life for Him? Well, examine your heart, examine your soul, because you might not really understand how great and how wonderful the Lord really is and how worthy He is of service for Him.
Amen.
So believers, are we ready? Are we ready for Him to return? Do our lives right now represent that we're ready? Are we investing in Manhattan area, you know, in whether it's Kansas State, Fort Riley, or just the town here, or your workplace? Are we investing in eternity? In the church, are you using what God has given you to be an encouragement? Pastor Byford has not told me this, I promise. He did not say, hey, Nathan, you really need to preach this message. He did not know this is where I was going today. But how are you doing in this church? How am I doing back in my local church? You know, how is Karis doing in hers and in her town and in her workplace? We all can do better. Are we ready for the Lord's return? Let's pray, and then I'll dismiss us. Father, it is convicting and humbling seeing how much work we have, how much we fail to serve you and to live for you. Lord, please forgive me for even the times where I get so focused on school or work or life preparation that I don't give adequate attention to your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would grow me in that. Lord, please grow all of us. Help us to never lose sight of the reward and to remember that you are worthy of our lives. You are worthy of the work that we can give for you. And I pray that we would be faithful servants. Lord, help me to be a faithful servant. Use Karis and I, Lord, wherever you would have us. And help us to be faithful there. Lord, I pray for these members here at Faith. And Lord, I pray that they would be faithful in their church, using the gifts that you have given them for the building up of the church. Then, Lord, I pray that they would use everything else in their lives to advance your kingdom. Lord, help us to not lose sight that these are gifts from you that we are meant to be stewards of. And I pray that you would help us to be faithful stewards. Lord, please continue challenging us and growing us. And I pray that you would be honored in the service that follows. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. And Pastor, do you want to say something?
Just make sure you get a chance to talk to Jonathan.
Yes, absolutely. But we're dismissed.